you do, turn to Romans chapter 10. And we're going to be looking at two verses. One we touched on last week, and then we'll extend just a little bit here. Romans chapter 10, we'll start in verse 9. And I'll go ahead and read these two verses to you. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Just start off with a little question to help you figure out where we're going this morning. Anybody out there need a Savior? Anybody out there need to be saved right now? Now, Baptist by heritage, that's like giving an invitation before you preach the sermon, when that's not the way we do it. I'm not actually talking about, there's two kinds of salvations that are present in these two verses. I'll show you that grammatically. I'm talking about in your life right now, with circumstances that you're dealing with, issues that you're facing. Anybody out there need to be saved right now? If we start with verse 9, which we did cover last week, and I did talk about this, so I can summarize it very briefly. It says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. So, unfortunately, this morning, to really understand this text, we have to get into the grammar just a little bit. And the two verbs that we have here, there's actually three, but the two verbs that we're responsible for, this confess and believe, they're aorist verbs, which means that they take place at a point in time. There's a point in time in which someone goes from unbelief to belief, from lack of faith to faith. And there's a point in time which someone does not confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then, at a point in time, an aorist verb, they do confess. Okay, and when these two conditions are satisfied, that someone genuinely believes in Jesus Christ as Lord, and someone really genuinely confesses Jesus Christ as Lord, then the promise is you will be saved, future tense verb. Say, y'all tracking with me? And this is the kind of gospel that all of us have bought into. This is the gospel sermon that I heard, that if I would believe, then I would be saved when the time came, when I died, or when Jesus came back, that I would be saved. That's totally legit. That's exactly what verse 9 is teaching us. It's teaching us that salvation, eternal salvation, is something that God gives in a moment in time when we believe in Jesus as Lord and when we confess Jesus Christ as Lord. But now verse 10 is going to expand on this in a way that is something we don't understand well. And so let me get us into verse 10, because this is just glorious and mind-blowing. Verse 10 says, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and with your mouth that you confess and are saved." Just take that first phrase, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified." Well, here the verb in this section is believe. And it's a present passive form of pistuo. That's the verb that means to believe. It's present, meaning not that it just happened once and has been forgotten, but it's an ongoing, that's what a present tense verb signifies, action that is continuous. And so see, verse 10 talks about the conversion, faith that happens at a moment in time. Sorry, verse 9 talks about faith that happens at a moment in time. But verse 10 isn't talking about that kind of faith. It's talking about a continuous kind of faith. And so we have this present tense verb, for it is with your heart that you believe. And that's the only verb. The rest of that little phrase in the NIV is translated, are justified. Now, if we read that in English, that looks like another verb, that we are justified. But in the Greek, it's not a verb. It's a noun and a preposition. And the preposition is eis. And again, the verb is dikaiosune, which means righteousness. It's the noun for righteousness. So, literally, the way you can read this text is, for with your heart you are believing into righteousness. And a lot of people have their little handy-dandy laptop, calculator, phone things, and they're double-checking my Greek as we go along here. So you can ask some of them after the service if what I'm telling you is right. It's no verb. The action isn't that if we are believing, then we are justified. No, it says that if we are believing, we are believing into righteousness. The salvation that Paul has in mind here, in a word, is a salvation that's rooted in righteousness. It's a lifestyle. What is righteousness? Righteousness, really the only definition of righteousness is God. God is righteous, and He's the very definition of what righteousness is. But in the way it's being used in this passage, the righteousness that Paul is talking about is a lifestyle that reflects the holy character and nature of God. We are constantly believing our way into righteousness. That's what verse 9 is saying. It's not something we do once. Once gets us, we'll be saved. You want to be saved right now? You want to experience godliness and holiness and righteousness right now? And so we say, no, not really. Well, I'm not trying to be offensive with that. I mean, some people really just aren't into that. But if you observe your life and start realizing all of the ways in which your lack of righteousness, lack of holiness, and lack of godliness is decimating you and your family and bringing all this heartache and pain and agony, yeah, you actually do want to be godly. You do want to be righteous. You do want to be like Jesus. And the way that happens right here and right now is by this ongoing faith, a constant believing in Jesus Christ. So, this is really the kind of salvation that we all need. Going to heaven, eternal life is great for when we die or when Jesus comes back, but it doesn't do that much for us in the moment. And this is the kind of salvation that we need right now. My question to you is, what good are you? I'm not trying to be offensive at all. What good are you to God or to your family or to your friends or to your brothers and sisters in Christ if your life is shot through with sin? If we're in bondage to immorality and lust and pride and greed, if we're mean and angry and bitter and resentful and unforgiving, we might go to heaven when we die, but I don't see how we can consider ourselves to have been saved. The fact is that if our lives are not reflecting the righteous character and nature of God, then we need to be saved. And I mean right now. So I'll ask again, anybody need to be saved? And see, this passage is so beautiful because God is not sitting on His throne up in heaven. Jesus Christ is not ruling and reigning over the whole universe, hands folded, waiting on you to achieve the victorious, righteous life that He's called you to. What He's waiting for you to do, if He's waiting at all, is to finally realize you need a Savior and to realize the only path to righteousness is to believe Him for it. The text goes on to say this. Well, let me just make this point abundantly clear. We will never achieve godliness or righteousness by human effort or force of will. We believe into it. We believe into it. And then the text goes on to help us understand this even better. It says, for with your heart, I'll just repeat the text, for with your heart you believe to righteousness. Now, specifically, what are you supposed to believe? Well, the context is really helpful on that. If you look back at verse 9, what exactly are we supposed to be believing? Well, if you look back at verse 9, you'll see it falls out basically like this, that God has raised Jesus from the dead as absolute Lord of heaven and earth. And this is the connection, that if we can make this connection, it will change your life. But we're not making this connection. How in the world does the fact that God raised Jesus from the dead and made Him Lord, how does that produce righteousness in your life? And see, until we make this connection, we are always going to be struggling mightily and failing more than we succeed. And so hopefully I can help us make that connection this morning. See, what we do, the way that we believe into righteousness, we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. We believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And some of you out there, in fact, I bet 99% of you would say to me, well, Pastor, I not only believe it, I know Jesus Christ is Lord. Why isn't it working? Anybody out there say amen? Or oh me? Yeah, I believed that since I was 5 years old, but I'm still not, my life hasn't changed. I'm not reflecting the righteousness of God in every aspect of my life. I mean, I've made a little progress, but anybody? Why isn't it working? I get this question a lot from people who really want to know the Lord. And let me just say that the truth of God is not like a vending machine where you and I can come along and take this verse and put in a quarter of faith and get out a can of righteousness. It doesn't work like that. If you're saying, why isn't it working? You're really asking the wrong question. Okay, what you need to be asking yourself is it true? Is it true that if I believe that Jesus Christ is the resurrected, exalted Lord, that believing that, I am believing that into righteousness, is that true? Is that what the Bible teaches? And I promise you that if you start reading your Bible, you will see the Bible teaches everywhere, all the time, over and over, that righteousness comes by faith. And it's the only way. So don't ask yourself, does it work? Ask yourself if it's true. So we say, okay, I know that's true. Then, why am I not living a godly life? That's a good question. And so I want to try to help you with that by telling you you're doing it wrong. Any Mr. Mom fans out there? It's one of my favorite movies. Mr. Mom, this guy is dropping off his kids at school. And he's been in the workforce and got fired, and now he's Mr. Mom, and his wife has gone to work. And he's taking his kid to school, and his little son is saying, "Oh, Dad, wait a second. This isn't how you go. You're doing it wrong. You're supposed to do this." And he says, "Oh, I'm not doing it wrong. This is the Jack Butler method." And then when he pulls up to drop off the kid, the attendant at the school taps on the window and he rolls it down. She says, "Hi, Jack, I'm Elaine. You're doing it wrong." No offense. But I don't know how to say it. You're doing it wrong. And so let me help you figure out how to do it right. What is wrong? The problem is with your understanding of lordship. If the lordship of Jesus Christ doesn't translate into you living a holy life, the problem is, one of them is what I'm calling incomplete understanding of lordship. Your understanding of lordship is incomplete. Is it possible that we have missed what Jesus Christ being the resurrected Lord of heaven and earth really means? Is it possible that we've totally missed it? So for us, what does that mean? It means that we owe Him our allegiance. Everybody say amen? Amen. It means we owe Him our allegiance. Okay, that's true. But more importantly, it means that Jesus Christ is exercising lordship over us. And think of that, there's just a slight shade of difference in these two things, because if lordship is only about your ability to submit, then you will only ever be as righteous as you can be, trying to submit to the one who's worthy to rule and reign. And see, that's part of lordship. We should all desire to surrender ourselves and our lives completely to the lordship of Jesus Christ. But if that's all there is to lordship, then Jesus will never rule and reign over you, because you will never fully surrender control to Him willingly. I mean, perfectly from the heart. You can't do it. And that's not all lordship means. Lordship also means that Jesus Christ has the sovereign authority and unlimited power to rule over us when we believe in Him. It's different. It's different than me doing my best to make Him Lord when I realize that Jesus Christ is doing everything to make Himself Lord. Think of it. He's not waiting on you to make Him Lord. He's waiting on you to believe that He is. And He is. Are you really believing that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life? Or only that He deserves to be Lord? Or wishing that He was Lord? Isn't there a difference? Believing that He is Lord. And if all you're doing is hoping or wishing, then you're doing it wrong. And I have good news for you. Jesus Christ really is the risen, exalted Lord of the universe, and He has all power to rule and reign over our lives and to bring our unruly thoughts and emotions and activities under His control. This is different than us doing the best we can to make Him Lord. This is Him making Himself Lord. Don't settle for a kind of lordship that depends more on your willpower to make Him Lord than His infinite power to make Himself Lord. Now, I know there's an objection coming out there. This objection is, well, Dan, aren't you removing free will? I mean, isn't this going to make robots out of us? Absolutely not. I'm not removing free will. Because even though Jesus is Lord, even though He has the right to control you, He won't unless you believe. I'm not taking free will out of the equation. I'm maximizing it. You're a part of this. But you have to believe. That's our part. Now the Lord inspires that and helps that. But He never takes that out of the equation. And so that's one part, incomplete lordship. But now I have to go a little further. You're doing it wrong, part two. Because I know that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord. But unless you're walking in supernatural righteousness, you really don't. So yeah, I do. I say, no, you don't. See, the second part of doing it wrong is what I'm calling hypothetical lordship. Or lordship in general. And you truly believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, but only in a hypothetical way. Of course He is Lord in general, but in the nitty-gritty struggles of your life, you have no expectation that He will reign. Now, turn over to 1 Corinthians 15:25. Boy, this is such a good word. And I'd love to read a whole lot of this. I encourage you to read it yourself. But I just want to zero in on verse 25. Listen to this. I have to read verse 24. Then the end will come when He hands over the kingdom to God the Father after He has destroyed all dominion and authority and power. For He must reign until He has put all of His enemies under His feet. Do you see the activity of the Lord Jesus happening right now? Bringing all things in heaven and on earth under His control and under His authority. He must reign. This is not hypothetical. It's happening now. The kingdom of God being manifested on the earth as Jesus exalts Himself and exercises His fully earned and deserved power and authority to bring us under subjection. Jesus is not hypothetically Lord. He is actively Lord. And if you don't believe that Jesus Christ will actually take over and run your life, then you have a hypothetical Lord and not a real one. And a hypothetical Lord won't do you any good. We have a real Lord who takes over when we trust Him. So let's make a little application here. And don't think because I said that I'm almost done. What is your struggle? What is your besetting sin, the one you struggle with over and over? Is there something that you can control that often overpowers you and leaves you brokenhearted and disgusted with yourself? These things are not just your enemies. They are the enemies of Jesus Christ. And He's ruling and reigning now to defeat every one of them. You're struggling like that? You know what you need? You need a Savior. One who has the power to take over your life and lead you to glorious victory. And Jesus Christ is that kind of Savior. He is that kind of Lord. The kind that actually rules your life when you trust Him. Not one that sits back and waits for you to live up to the impossible standard He has set. We have judged our Lord unfairly. Basically complaining to Him for setting an impossible standard. Never ever knowing or believing that He Himself has the power to accomplish that in our lives. He has not been unfair to set this standard. Because He stands ready and willing to bring your whole life and everything else in heaven and on earth under subjection. He's Lord. When Jesus Christ becomes our actual Lord and not just a hypothetical one. It's then that righteousness and holiness and godliness will begin to flow in the particular circumstances of our lives. Somebody's saying, I've got to get this fixed. I've got to get this fixed. And I'm telling you, no, you don't. You have to believe. You need a Savior. And He can fix it. Because He is Lord of that thing. And you. So let's review. We get saved someday. I know, don't think as I said review, I'm almost done. We get saved eternally by confessing and believing Jesus Christ is Lord. One time deal, real confession, real faith at any moment in time is going to save you eternally. And that's great news. It's great news. But you want to enter into righteousness right now? There's only one pathway to do that, and that is by continually believing the truth that Jesus Christ is the resurrected Lord. And have we now made the connection that the Lordship of Jesus Christ changes everything about the way we live our life because He's in charge? Man, this is glorious gospel news. He said, I don't see how that can be true. It's too good to be true. That's what makes faith so difficult. But you want it, you got to believe it. So, we enter into righteousness in this life by trusting Jesus Christ as risen Lord. Don't settle for incomplete lordship. He's not waiting on you to make Him Lord. He's waiting for you to believe that He is, and He makes Himself Lord. Don't settle for hypothetical lordship. He's Lord right now over you and every weakness and every spiritual power that would try to dominate your life. He will not surrender His authority and power to rule because He has paid the ultimate price that He might rule over you. You say, what are you talking about? I've never even heard this. This is all about me doing the best I can to please God. You've got to read your Bibles. We have got to read our Bibles. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 20. Say, why didn't my other pastor preach this to me? I don't know. He'll have to answer to God for that. But this pastor is preaching this to you. And I want you to hear the heart of God, the promise of God that comes down to us through the ages. Revealed to Ezekiel, this, if you've never read this scripture, it will blow your mind. I'm going to read a fairly long section. I'm going to start in verse 31. When you offer your gifts, the sacrifice of your sons in the fire, these are offerings to false gods, you continue to defile yourself with all your idols to this day. Am I to let you inquire of me, O house of Israel? As surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, I will not let you inquire of me. You say we want to be like the nations, like the people of the world who serve wood and stone. But what? Listen to this. They don't want to follow God. They don't want God to be in charge. They don't want Him to be in charge. Are y'all tracking with that? But now listen to what God says. And some of you, look, if you're real honest, some of you would say right now, I don't want God to be in charge. I like the way I'm living. I love what I'm doing. And that's actually a lie. If you're a believer, it's not true that you love it. You actually hate it. But let me just try to stay focused. You might be feeling that way and saying those things, but God has a word for you. But what you have in mind will never happen. As surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, I will rule over you with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with outpoured wrath. I will bring you from the nations and gather you from the countries where you have been scattered. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and with outpoured wrath, I will bring you into the desert of nations. There, face to face, I will execute judgment on you. As I judged your fathers in the desert in the land of Egypt, so I will judge you, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will take note of you as you pass under my rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. I will purge you of those who revolt and rebel against me. Although I will bring them out of the land where they are living, yet they will never enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. You don't think Jesus Christ wants to rule over you? Oh, but you do, don't you? The hang-up is, I can't make that happen. And I have good news for you. You don't have to. He makes it happen. How? Y'all tell me the answer. Faith. By believing. Can we just start believing that Jesus Christ really is our Lord and has the desire and power to rule and reign over our whole lives in a way that produces His righteousness? See, we still have half of the verse to go, but it won't take as long. Not only do we believe into righteousness, but look at the next part of that verse back in Romans chapter 10, verse 10. And with your mouth, confession. And with your mouth you confess and are saved. The word confess is to make a declaration, to speak out that which is true. And once we know the truth that Jesus Christ really is Lord, we need to begin to make this confession. We need to open our mouths and say it. Because we believe that Jesus Christ really is Lord of our life, we must say so. I hear Christians all the time. I hear Christians saying all the time that Jesus Christ isn't Lord. You say, oh, I've never heard a Christian do that. Oh, I hear it all the time. In fact, I probably do it myself far too often. You know how it goes? It goes like this. I'm only human. There's no way I can. And then you fill in the blank. Now, let me give you some things to put in your blank there. Forgive. No way I can forgive. I'm only human. Love. Some people we just say, there's no way I can love that person. Serve. Suffer. Stay clean. Control my thoughts. Pray. Read the Bible. All of these things. Now, I'll grant you in one sense that it's true. If you're trying to establish your own righteousness, then no, it doesn't work because you don't have the strength. But if you submit to the righteousness that comes from God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can. Fill in the blank. Why? Because the Lord of heaven in earth has the authority and the power to make it happen, to manifest it in your life. So let's stop confessing that Jesus Christ is not Lord and start confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. I wish we could just have share time right now. And we could all just share with one another, yeah, I haven't been believing that Jesus Christ is Lord, and then say it, what it is. Okay? That is one kind of confession. But there's another kind of confession, and we need to start doing it now. I haven't been living this certain way. But because Jesus Christ is Lord, I know that He is going to produce that reality in my life. I know that I will forgive, stay pure, stay clean, fill in the blank. Why do I know that? Because Jesus Christ is Lord. So what do? I kind of already covered this. Right now, in the midst of your struggle, begin to confess Jesus is Lord over whatever it is. Remind yourself that He rules and reigns over you and all of your circumstances by the power that raised Him from the dead, and begin to speak that truth. Say it to yourself. Say it to God. Say it to others. Begin to speak the truth. Jesus is Lord over me. He rules over me. He reigns over me. His will must be accomplished in my life because Jesus Christ is Lord. So I know it's hard to get this, but are you Lord or is He Lord? Who gets their way? Well, Jesus gets His way when we believe. We need to start making this confession. I want you to say it because it's true. Say it because you believe it, or you can say it until you believe it. Did you know that works as well? It does. In fact, it's 100% scriptural. Verse 9 starts with confession. Jesus Christ is Lord. And leads to what? Faith. Believing in your heart. Verse 9 starts with believing in your heart. And leads to what? Confession. Pick one. But get started believing and confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Anybody out there need to be saved? Believe and confess, or confess and believe that Jesus Christ is the risen Lord. And you have got to see what this next thing says. In your text, it probably says, are saved. It gives this kind of present tense verb. Again, we're not dealing with a verb at all. We're dealing with a preposition and a noun. The preposition is eis. In, to, toward, or into. And the noun, soteria. Salvation. At least I think it's soteria. Yeah, soteria. We are believing into salvation, confessing into salvation. Isn't that a great word? Now, I know some of you have had trouble with these name it, claim it people and people who make a big deal out of confessing all sorts of weird things. And I don't want to say anything bad about anyone else, but don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. You may not be feeling it that Jesus Christ is Lord. Confess it anyway. Confess it anyway. Confessing it moves you into salvation. And again, we have this present tense verb. It's not a one-time confess over something. There are certain issues in my life where I have confessed the Lordship of Jesus Christ over them at least 1,000 times. And the reason I had to do it 1,000 times was because I had evidence in my behavior to doubt it. But guess what? My behavior doesn't determine truth. God's Word determines truth. So guess what I do? I confess it 1,001 times. And I'll do it 1,000,000 times if I have to. Because it's true. Jesus Christ is Lord. It's a glorious truth. You want righteousness? You want to be saved? Let's believe and confess our way into it. Because Jesus Christ really is Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, please let this word take every weight off of every shoulder regarding every sin and every struggle and every trial. Just let this word rip the one burden off of your people. Let it all be replaced with only one burden. That we would believe in you as Lord and say it all the time to ourselves, to you and to one another. Just take away all the burden. We can't carry those burdens. We got zero power and we're so weak and impotent and helpless apart from you. But you are our resurrected Lord. And you can and you will accomplish all of your purposes in our life as we trust you. Help us to do it now. I pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. If you stand to your feet, we're going to spend some time meditating on what God said.